What I see with this new generation of the kids that is coming to the market, the job market, it's come to a level that everybody just wants to do the simplest thing and expect the highest salary. None of these guys actually want to, or a very few of these guys are like my boss, my old boss, who want to go deep into engineering. Like people used to focus on engineering and money used to flow. Now people are focusing on money and they say they will learn the engineering on the path. So this is the problem I'm trying to adjust. So the first thing I see is that what is this guy looking for? Excellence or short-term money? Perseverance or running away? I'm Tapan. I'm the principal scientist of Adverb Technologies.
This is Code Story, the podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries who share in the critical moments of what it takes to change an industry and build and lead a team that has your back. I'm your host, Noah Laphart, and today how Tapan Patnaik is working to automate operations using hardware, software, and robotics. All this and more on Code Story. Tapan Patnaik's life revolves around technology. His friends, professional colleagues, etc., and even his wife is an engineer who he met at a company he was working at. He's passionate about making kids fall in love with science and inspire a generation of young people to roll up their sleeves and dig into hardware. He believes that engineering is taught from the passion of other engineers. Outside of tech, he used to play sports, specifically cricket. When his time was limited to play cricket, he started reading philosophy and history with the goal of predicting what is happening with societal trends. While growing up in India, Tapan was contacted by his good friend in the States to join his company. At first, he was hesitant, but he came to a point in his life where he felt he needed to do something different, something that was high energy, open, and impactful to the rest of the world. This is Tapan's creation story at Adverb.
What Adverb symbolizes is can-do attitude. And that culture is ingrained in each of us, actually. Adverb as a whole produces the entire automation thing. We have ASRS, we have motor drivers, we have shuttles, we have robots, we have cobots. So we have done everything that is required on the factory floor, from mechanical to electrical to sheet metals to manufacturing to everything. We've done it. Now, what I have done or what I brought to Adverb is, I would say, I was here for a year, but yeah, I'm so glad. In this 1 year, I have done so much things that I haven't done in 5 years, in my previous organizations. So many things we've done. New paradigm of safety, new paradigm of wireless, new paradigm of robot stuffs, and wireless mesh, 5G, some of the things that has been done in the outside world but not come to the industrial sector. So we've done a lot of strides in this sector. I was growing up in India, and the CEO, Sangeet Kumar, he was my batchmate, and he used to stay 4 or 5 rooms apart from me. And he somehow went to this industrial automation sector, and I went to the semiconductor sector. He kind of started something in India and then made it big, and he was chasing me for like 5-6 years. Tapi joined us. And I was always, you know, it's a startup, it's an Indian company. I was always in that hesitation. And then once I was in Google, and I think after going through all the big companies in Bay Area, I came to a point in my life that, okay, I need to do something different. I mean, in the energy, the enthusiasm, the openness, and the freedom that you get in a startup, that too in manufacturing, which is like, you know, my passion was there. I thought it is far more impactful to the rest of the world, to me and my career, to do something that will influence a lot of people, especially, you know, with all these old people like my boss, Gabnera, who were like, if they are gone, who is going to hold this legacy to the new guys? The new kids I see, all they want to do is like code something or be a social media influencer and stuff like that, or wear AR/VR goggles. But nobody wants to roll up their sleeve and do some soldering, do some machining in their garage, in their workshop, do something on the antenna, do something in the wireless, run something in the mechanicals. This has all gone to China, to be frank. We have lost manufacturing. And then after a long soul-searching questions, I realized that I'll do a far more impactful job with a company which grows, where the CEO's vision aligns with me, and where I get the freedom. So I took that jump. And when I saw the factory in India, the way they have built up, oh my God, I felt that the fortune favors the brave, and that exactly happened with me.
Let's talk about the first version of the MVP that you worked on. So you joined the company, you came in and started working on a product line. What was your MVP? How long did it take you to build? And what sort of tools did you use to bring it to life?
When I say AGV, it's like something that automated guided vehicle. It doesn't have the perception of its own, but it will be guided by someone on the higher level. It's called a fleet management server, FMS. Okay, so it's like a multiple thousands of robots running, but the intelligence is coming from a fleet management server, which is somewhere in the upper level. So at one point, my challenge is to make these AGVs go low cost to the point that I can sell 100,000 of them. Because, you know, these are like from retail to manufacturing to hospitality to medicines to biological sectors to anywhere you have this logistics involved, these smart robots are our main lines. What they do is they move in a barcode-based system where you define, okay, things come from the conveyor belt, go to the cobot, cobot picks up that, put that in the AGV, AGV moves from here to here, put that in a chute so that it goes down and goes to the trucking or the shipping area and goes out. So for example, I just gave you the example. Your throughput, how many loads you get it out from your whole solution engineering point of view, how many loads you got out from your conveyor and how much time it took. So that is where the game is actually. So these AGVs get do their job, then have to be recharged because, you know, they're running from battery, the battery needs recharging, and then in between it will get commands, and sometimes 2-3 robots, if the path collide, then you have to take intelligence to pass one, other you have to wait. So there's a lot of mathematics and also physics involved in calculating the optimal route of these robots. So that is called the FMS side. Then you have the electrical part where you make sure that you don't lose power, you don't waste energy, and at the same time, you don't need to be recharged a lot. The third thing is the cost. You have to make it low cost, but at the same time, it has to get the safety that you need. So I walk through all the three things, and at the center of all these things was all pure basics PID, control systems.
Okay, so then from that point, you've got, you know, you've described your MVP. You've described the pieces, the components of the MVP. How did you progress the product? After you started, you got it up and running. How did you progress it from there and mature it? And I think to wrap in a box, how did you go about building your roadmap? And how did you decide what was the next most important thing to build or to address?
Thing is that when I came from an industry which is like commoditized, right? For example, if I make a system for a Google Pixel or a Amazon watch, you can see the cost in the consumer sector has come down to a lot. Like for example, an industrial robot, it has also 4 cameras, it has also a LiDAR, and its cost can be greater than $10,000. But if you see an iPad today, you can get 4 camera plus a LiDAR in the iPad for $350. When the commoditization happened at this level, they took every control of every aspect of manufacturing to bring it to a level that it can be cheap, but it can be gone to millions of people or billions of people. Now, I think the robotics industry is exactly this cusp. The cusp where the robots will become not only retail, not only warehouse, but will go to every aspect of our life. You can think of every family has a phone, it will come to that every family will have a robot. And how that is possible? That can only be possible if we can do something in the safety paradigm, at the controller paradigm, and at the mechanical electrical paradigm, that the cost comes down. And today, on this date, the cost of a robot is still decided by the electrical and the perception and the control part. And I'm bringing it down to an absolutely ridiculously low level. At the same time, I'm increasing the safety, because you can go and buy something cheap from China and run it, okay? That is one type of culture, one type of market. The other thing is you build it, add the German engineering, the safety part of the engineering, the quality of the engineering, the excellence of the engineering, but at the same time bring it to a cost that it's not like outrageous to many of the people, 80% of the world population. So this is what I'm doing, right? Getting the best of technology and getting the best of manufacturing to make the things which is not very costly, but at the same time safety and performance-wise as good as a top quality product. Yeah, and it's not only me doing, I'm getting help from some of the top semiconductor companies in the space. The good thing with the Adverb is that today we can run into the Intel top VPs without any wait or delay, or we can run to Qualcomm, or we can run into the Intel, Qualcomm, NVIDIA's of the world. That because they see that Adverb has the potential, Adverb is the right people, and Adverb is the technology to build and do something fundamentally different in this industry.
So, you know, I hear team as far as partners with the companies, and that makes sense. But how do you go about building the people that are there with you? How do you go about building your team? And what do you look for in those people to indicate that they are the winning horses to join you?
This is actually the field I'm struggling right now. What I see with this new generation of the kids that is coming to the market, the job market, it's come to a level that everybody just wants to do the simplest thing and expect the highest salary. None of these guys actually want to, or a very few of these guys are like my boss, my old boss, who want to go deep into engineering. Like people used to focus on engineering and money used to flow. Now people are focusing on money and they say they will learn the engineering on the path. And that is a fundamentally a very distorted space that US system has been now. I don't know how did we come here. Has it the US engineering culture got damaged in the process? So this is the problem I'm trying to adjust. So the first thing I see is that what is this guy looking for? Excellence or short-term money? Perseverance or running away? Everything else follows, man. If your character is in the right place, everything else follows. So first thing I look for is character. So finding a team like this has been extremely tough for me. I've been like going through thousands of resumes. So it happens that the guys I interview and I don't find good enough for me, they can easily get into very top companies who can pay them quite a high amount of money, but no, they cannot clear my interview. So the technically we expect the best. Yeah, our interviews were like technically super, like extremely strong people only can survive. Plus at the same time, we require people who can stand on character. So yeah, this has been not an easy task for me. I've been very slow in finding people, but I hope that with the layoff and all these things is going on, maybe we will come to a place where we will go back to the old engineering culture that was there before this ostentatious display of whatever you call.
Let's flip to scalability then. So, and this would be scaling of the technology itself. What are you building this to scale efficiently from day one, or are you going to be fighting this as you grow in any sort of capacity? Tell me a little bit about that.
When you solve a problem like this scale, right, where you want to bring robotics to the mass, robotics at a cost without compromising quality, we rediscover our strategy every now and then. So even though I start with one, I fall back to two. And I read a lot of development. You know, as I said, reading history and philosophy is one of my pet project. So I read how Ford built it. If you read the Henry Ford's autobiography, right, how they built Ford engine. Oh my God, how much struggle they made. Amazing read, actually. I would suggest you to read it. And I'm thinking that we are not doing anything different. The problem that they didn't need to fight was like, okay, I work here and I don't get it. I jump it to some other company. The Bay Area culture of, okay, jumping for every 5 to 10% hike, those type of things was not there. They just struggled day and night. Okay, this engine is heavy. Change the spark plug. Change this thing. It is becoming heavy. It is becoming locking the door. One by one, they solve the problem. Okay, and I'm sure they wouldn't have planned like, we'll do this way and this way, this way. No, it just as they developed on the way, they rediscovered everything. And I think that is the way, actually. You cannot say that I will hire very highly experienced executives who know what is wrong and they will do it. You were proven wrong. Look at Tesla. You were proven absolutely wrong. A guy with passion can do more work than a guy with a lot of experience. The only thing that is required is basics. Basic physics, chemistry, mathematics. And an attitude and a character. That's the thing is required.
Tapan, as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built thus far at Adverb, what are you most proud of?
So, to be frank, it's only a year for me. Yeah, I built a lot of safety, new paradigm of safety in Adverb. I've solved a lot of problems, like debugging, okay? There is one thing is designing, one is debugging. Yeah, on debugging, I'm proud of a lot of things. On designing, I've only designed one product so far. It takes time. I would say I'm more proud of the problem I debugged. So I would say, yeah, high-speed AGV, speed-optimized automated guided vehicle that I made.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you responded to it.
I just blindly took whatever one of my vendors said that they will be delivering, and it did not get delivered. Like months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months delayed. The supply chain constraints came in. There were not many things to be delivered. So I was like beaten actually. I was really beaten. What to do? What to do now? And then out of the blue, I kind of thought something which can solve the same problem without depending on others and in-house design. And that's what I did, and it worked. So I believe that the hard lesson I learned is that anything that you do in the fundamentally new things in the innovation level, unless you have a control on the entire chain, you cannot build new things. And I think Apple has done that to a very great extent. I was thinking why Apple is doing that, everything like in-house, and I can sense that. Like whenever you are trying to do something new, if you depend on something else, it's going to kill you. You do something, but you can always get totally detoured.
Okay, what does the future look like for Adverb, what you're working on, and for your team?
The future is very, very bright. The first thing is that we have kept our culture based on old engineering style, right? Which is doing things in-house, doing things in a classical way, but working hard and never giving up. So I'm pretty sure Adverb is going to be amongst the top 3 to 4 companies in robotics field. Bring the best of the East and West. Like for example, all I can say is, I worked with all the cultures in the world. I worked in India, I worked in China, I worked in Taiwan, Netherlands, Israel, US. And I think we in Adverb brought the best culture of all the places with our basics right. Like we are conservative, and we are conservative in the way of conservative in our engineering and liberal in our culture. So definitely Adverb has a very bright future.
Let's switch to you. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
So if you ask me, I look up to be someone like Elon Musk, who only had basics and who had passion and built an entire generation, entire new field. And the good thing about him is that he could clearly distinguish between pseudo-liberalism and liberalism. I think he inspires me the most. Not his interpersonal dealings or something, but what he could do in US, staying in Bay Area, far from the automotive sectors, far from the manufacturing sectors, just by pure passion, what he proved, I think I must give it to him.
Okay, last question, Tapan. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world. Can't wait to show it off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person, having gone down this road a bit?
I think I'll hold my advice. I'm still not a successful entrepreneur or a successful person to give that advice. So I'll hold my comment here.
All right. Well, Tapan, thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for telling your creation story of Adverb.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.